In a football game, there's progression. There's movement from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. As the game progresses, the game can get steadily harder and more difficult. Fatigue can set in. Frustration can set in. And only the team that perseveres through the fourth quarter, though they are tired, though they are thirsty, perhaps even though they're behind, yet if they persevere, keep pushing and keep pushing and keep going through the fourth quarter, then that team is the team that is prone to achieve the victory that they're looking for. Well, prayer can be like a football game. When Jesus teaches about prayer, he indicates that there is this progression. A progression from something that may be easy to something that becomes very difficult. Progression that perseveres through fatigue, frustration, and many times even unbelief. We see Jesus' teaching on prayer in our passage. First thing Jesus tells us to do in order to persevere through the fourth quarter of prayer is, he says, the first thing you need to do is you need to ask. We are to ask God as if we were beggars asking for a handout. We can't demand anything of God. So when we approach God in prayer, we should approach Him with a very humble heart and an understanding that He is King of the universe. He is the Most High God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We need to understand who we are approaching. If you remember the story of Esther, okay? Esther has a request of the king. But in the ancient Near East, you could not approach the king. The king had to first send you an invitation. And of course, then when the invitation went out, you better show up. But you just couldn't show up and want to talk to the king. Well, Esther is the queen. Same rules apply to her. Yet, she shows up in the doorway wanting to address the king. There was a great chance that she was taking as she approached the king. Because in the ancient Near East, you just didn't do that. But when Esther approaches the king, she does so with great humility. Though she is queen, she does not approach him demanding rights. She does not approach the king demanding to be heard. In a sense, she throws off her position of power. And she approaches the king as a humble servant. She approaches him with humility. She approaches him as a lowly servant. And by such a humble and contrite approach, Esther showed great respect and honor for the king. Well, it's the same with us when we go to God in prayer. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we should remind ourselves who we are. Yes, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And yes, Jesus Christ always lives to intercede for us. But we have no right in and of ourselves to approach God in prayer. We have a right through Christ, but we have no right in and of ourselves. And we need to remind ourselves that this is the throne of grace. It is a throne of mercy. Therefore, we remind ourselves that we are great sinners. We humble ourselves before the Almighty God. You see, the king loves his servants. But the servants must always remind themselves that that's what they are. They are servants. As a pauper asks favor from the king, so we should ask God and petition God through prayer. But then if we do not receive our request, what do we do? Well, Jesus tells you what to do. He says, after you have asked, then you seek. You see, seeking is more intense than asking. Seeking is like praying in the third quarter, okay? It's past halftime. You're in the third quarter. The game is tight. You're a little bit behind, maybe 3 points, maybe a touchdown. But there's still a lot of time to go in the game. And so you're praying with an earnestness, but you still know that there's a lot of time to go. You're praying more earnest than what you did at the beginning of the game. You know, there's only a prayer offered at the very beginning. Nobody prays during the first quarter or the second quarter. It is only as you start the third quarter that you understand, hey, this is going to be a tight game here. Maybe we need to ask divine assistance. So you begin to seek. In other words, you don't leave any stone unturned. We've all had this happen to us. You're looking for your car keys, and you go to the place where you always leave your car keys. You know your car keys are there, but then when you get there, guess what? Your car keys aren't there. So what do? You look here, you look there, you look over here, you look back here. You go back to the first place you looked to make sure you didn't oversee something. No, you see. You start seeking for it. You expend a little bit of energy. Same way with prayer. If you do not get an answer to your prayers when you have asked, then you begin to seek. Well, what does that mean? It means that you search the scriptures to make sure that what you are petitioning God for is what God has said you should pray for. The petitions in the Lord's Prayer are the petitions that you should ask for and then seek for. As the old song goes, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Sometimes we become frustrated in our prayer life because we are asking for a rose garden from God when He's never promised us a rose garden. Oh, I want that new car. Oh, I want this fancy coat. Oh, I want this job promotion. Well, all those things are nice, and it's okay that you petition God for those things. But He hasn't promised you a rose garden. He hasn't promised that you're going to win the lottery. He hasn't promised that you're going to get the new car. He hasn't promised you anything like that. And when we expect that from God, then we become frustrated in our prayers. Now, God may give the rose garden. And in various ways, He's given us all part of a rose garden, hasn't He? He's given us much more than what He has promised to give us. But what God has promised to give us, and that He will always give as we ask and seek, are the things that are listed in the scriptures, especially what is listed in the Lord's Prayer. All the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, God has promised that He will do that for you. Everything there. He'll provide your daily bread. He will deliver you from the evil one. He will deliver you from temptation. He will forgive your debts as you forgive your debtors. He will work in you that you will hallow His name, that you will do His will as it is done in heaven. These things, you can have full confidence in God's word. You can have full confidence that when you ask and seek, seeking for these things, the things that Jesus has laid out, God will do it for you. Have you noticed that Jesus connected the Lord's Prayer with this story about that you should always pray and not give up? Also, you seek by examining yourself to see if there's any sin in your life. King David says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard my prayers." The Apostle James says, "You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." When we are petitioning God for things, we must petition Him for the things that He has said. And we must search our hearts to make sure that when we do petition Him, we are not asking for wrong motives. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 39, in our responsive reading this morning, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, the psalmist is not praying to God and saying, "Lord, search me so that you may know." No, the psalmist is saying, "Lord, search me that I may know, that when I come to you in prayer, if I am doing it from a sinful motive, from wrong motives, open my heart, show me, so that I can repent of my sin and only ask for those things that you have commanded me to ask for." Once again, in Psalm 119, we read, "I meditate upon your precepts and consider all your ways. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." Seeking then is more intensive than simply asking. After simply asking and receiving no answer, then I must get off my rear end and do what God says I must do to get an answer. I have planted the seed, but that's not enough. I gotta weed it. I gotta water it. I gotta fertilize it. The game is four quarters. It's not three quarters. You go, you ask and seek through the third quarter. But if it's not there, you know that you've got another quarter to go. And the fourth quarter is that after we have asked and sought, if there is still no answer, we must knock as one knocking to be admitted to a closed door. The fellow in the parable, he continues to knock. Even though his neighbor says, "Go away, I'm already asleep. The door is closed. I'm not open for business." No, he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking until he gets his answer. The widow, she keeps coming back to the judge until the judge makes a verdict in her favor. Have you ever seen something in a store and you go, "Oh, I would just really love that. You know, some nice clothes or whatever it may be. I really would like that." And then you go and you look at the sticker price. And you go, "I don't really need it that bad." Yeah, we've all done that. But if we really wanted it, if we really needed it, then we would find a way to save our money and go back and make a purchase. Same thing with prayer. You pray for something one day, and then you pray for something maybe the rest of the week. It doesn't happen. And so you leave off praying for that specific thing. And why do you do that? Well, it's because you've come to the conclusion, I don't really need that. Price is too high. I don't need to pay that kind of price. But if you really wanted it, you would persevere until it became yours. And that's what knocking in prayer is all about, you see. You keep going through the fourth quarter. You keep going when you're frustrated. You keep going when you're tired. You keep going even when you feel like you don't want to go anymore. But because you know that what you're praying for is so important to you, you persevere. You persevere. You don't immediately receive an answer, but because you hunger and thirst for the petitions there in the Lord's Prayer to be manifested in your life, you will not be denied the things that God says you should pray for. So you persevere. Knocking is like the one in the parable who found a great treasure in the field. And then he went away and sold all he had to get enough money to come back and buy the field so the treasure would be his. Or like a friend who bothered his neighbor in the middle of the night. He got his request because he didn't give up. And as I said before, that particular parable was given to us by Jesus to teach us to persevere in prayer. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, always keep on praying. Always keep on praying. Knocking in prayer has to do with perseverance. Knocking in prayer has to do with denying self and carrying the cross of Christ to get the things of Christ accomplished in our life and in the lives of others. When we knock on heaven's door in order to get the things that God says we should pray for, any delay is met with trust. Trust in God's word. Any delay will not deter our interest. We must have it or we're going to bust. You do not simply knock on heaven's door. But as Bob Dylan used to sing, knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. See the perseverance in that song? It ain't one time, but you keep on knocking until you get what God says He will give to you. It feels like wrestling at times, and that's what it is. It's spiritual wrestling. But like Jacob wrestled with God, and he would not let God go until God blessed him. So we should not give up our prayers until God answers them. Unanswered prayer can feel like God is giving you the cold shoulder. It can feel like that, believe you me. But God's not giving us the cold shoulder. Instead, it is an invitation from God to persevere, to ask, seek, and knock. And then, as Moses said to the Israelites, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Therefore, we can be confident that when we ask, seek, and knock in faith, we can expect to receive that which is good and that which is a blessing to us and to our family and to our church. This is why Paul writes to the Philippians and says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." There is progression in prayer. Progression that can, as you approach the fourth quarter, as you approach the answer to your prayers, can seem like you are in a wrestling match. You are in a knockdown, drag out with your sins and with the world and the evil one opposing you. It can feel like that. But as we persevere, don't trust your feelings. Please, please do not trust your feelings. They will deceive you every time. Instead, trust God's word. Trust God's word. And He says, ask, seek, and knock. And as we persevere, as we ask, seek, and knock for the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, we have every confidence that God will give us everything we ask for. As earthly parents, though we are evil, yet we love to give good gifts to our children. How much more so then will our holy and loving God give us that which is good when we ask, seek, and knock. Let's pray.